Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Prayer meeting and the word discussion around prayer usually brings up all kinds of things in people's hearts and minds. So I'm going to talk about prayer this morning. And while I was looking at it, I came across this story here. It said a country preacher decided to skip services one Sunday and head to the hills to do some bear hunting. As he rounded the corner on a perilous twist in the trail, he and a bear collided, sending him and his rifle tumbling down the mountainside. Before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other, landing on a rock and breaking both legs. That was the good news. The bad news was the ferocious bear charging at him from a distance and he couldn't move. Oh Lord, the preacher prayed. Anybody been there? Oh, Lord, the preacher prayed, I'm so sorry for skipping services today to come out here and hunt. Please forgive me and grant me just one wish. Please make a Christian out of that bear that's coming at me. Please, Lord. That very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to its knees, clasped its paws together, and began to pray out loud right at the preacher's feet. Quote, Dear Lord, bless this food I'm about to receive in Jesus' name. So that's one kind of prayer, all right? Here's another one. As the storm raged, the captain realized his ship was sinking fast. He called out, Anyone here know how to pray? One man stepped forward. Aye, Captain, I know how to pray. Good, said the captain. You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets. We're one short. That's cold, isn't it? Sorry, out of luck. Yep. Well, let's look at a couple other things about prayer. But before we do that, I'm getting rid of this. There we go. Let's pray. All right? Father, we thank you that we can come to you and talk to you about everything that we're involved in, everything that concerns us. And this message today, Lord, we submit to you right now, and we ask that you'll make it what you want it to be, that you'll take the words and make them go to the places that they need to go to bring chain breaking, to set people free, to bring growth, to help us to be better children of God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Those are pretty humorous examples of prayer, right? And in my experience in talking to people about prayer, and even when I was a kid, when my father would say, we're going to have prayer meeting, I would go, what are we going to do? And all I could see was the backsides of the older people, which meant they were on their knees. And I never knew what they were doing down there because you couldn't hear them praying. They and they'd be, and every now and then they'd sing a song. And we'd be there all night. But as I got older, and as I got closer to God, and as I became a Christian and really began to love Jesus and know who he was, prayer changed my whole outlook. Because I could ask God for something and he responded to me. That's different than just praying. You ever read a prayer that somebody makes? They wrote it down. Or the serenity prayer, God help, you know, or someone else's prayer about whatever. But those things, they don't have the same impact as, like, for example, if I saw you, Curtis, and we started having a conversation, and I was like, yeah, so how you doing? And you started telling me stuff, and I telling you stuff. That's kind of what prayer is. We're talking to each other, except the other is God. And when we talk to him, he has a response for us. So prayer is talking and listening. Did you get that? Talking then. Listen. All right. So Acts 12, can you put that up there? It says, Acts 12:1. That's not Acts 12:1. Let's get Acts 12:1 up there. I'm going to read through it really quick. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had him arrested, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him." Just keep that in your mind. Four squads of soldiers. I'm not sure what a squad is, but I bet you it's more than two or three. All right? So he had four squads of two or three people at least. Lost my place. He put him in prison, delivered him to four soldiers, intending to bring him before the people of after Passover. Verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, remember that? But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So get this picture. Peter's laying down, and he's got a chain on one hand. He's chained to a guard. On the other hand, he's chained to a guard. I think his feet are probably chained. He's like Mr. Chain, okay? He's locked up. And he's got guards all around him. Plus, they're in the deepest part of the prison, so they're in the part of the prison where he's at. Then you have guards. Then you got another prison. They have guards. And then you get out, all right? So, verse 7, now behold, I like that word. It says, get ready. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put your garment on and follow me. So he went out, followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. But he thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. How about Shazam? And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. She kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out from the prison. So what happened is, in short, is Peter was put in jail for doing the Lord's will. Some of you might get into tough situations for telling the truth, for being honorable, for doing the Lord's will. You might get beat up or talked about verbally. Well, maybe beat up, I don't know. But we live in a world today that's somewhat different. But one thing we know is that we can pray. And it was the prayers of the saints that caused Peter to be set free. And that's the point I want to bring to us today. We're going to have an interactive service. You can say amen or not, but eventually you're going to be talking. Because I got something for you. Are you ready? We're going to pray. We're talking about praying, but talk is cheap. We used to say that, I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to do this. And somebody would say, talk is cheap, man, show up, do something. So I'm not just going to talk about prayer this morning, I'm going to lead us in prayer. We're going to do some praying, amen? So just shake your legs a little bit, don't plan on falling asleep, because you're not going to have time, all right? Amen, amen, amen. So Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communication with God, talking and listening. Prayer is one of the ways we have relationship with God. We spend time with people who we want to have relationship with, right? You spend time. But when you think of prayer, we always think of it as God is up in heaven somewhere. He's not really with us. He's just up there somewhere. He's doing whatever. And when we pray, we kind of don't know if we're going to get our prayer answered. How many of you have prayed like that? Be honest. I got both my hands. I've done it a few times. I prayed without any faith. I just said, Lord, I know I'm supposed to bless this food. I'm real hungry. Bless this food. Bless the hands I prepared. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody done that?
Come on, I know y'all did that. But sometimes we'll hear a situation and we'll go, I'll pray for that. I'll pray about that. And then you go on about your way and you never do. Right? Or we'll hear something that's, you know, maybe something we could pray about. But when we pray, we don't really believe. Or if we do believe, we don't believe that we're really going to see the result of what we're praying. That's what I'm looking for. The one who prays that doesn't expect the answer to the prayer that they're praying. And so I want you to know that God is at work when we pray. That it's not just a perfunctory thing to do, like blessing your food or praying before you go to sleep or praying as soon as you wake up. It's just, oh, Lord, I'm giving you my day, and you're thinking about it, and you just run through your day. You never think about God again. No, prayer is constant communication with God. It's prayer. It's calling on Jesus. There's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. And someone read that once, pray without ceasing. Don't die when you pray. Keep it going. Prayer is a weapon. Amen? The Bible says the weapons of our warfare. How many of you know we're in a war? Okay, we fight against principalities and powers. Sometimes we have to fight people because they're run by those principalities and powers. Sometimes we have to chase the devil away by what we say and how we do. Sometimes we have to take authority over the enemy. Sometimes we have to pray just so we can stay saved. And see, I knew I'd get one there. Yeah, because you want to reach out and touch somebody in the wrong way, right? So we have to pray. And it's a good thing. But it's a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. And God is at work when we pray. Because when you pray, you engage the Spirit of God to enter into our situation. In verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. He was in prison. The church knew he was in prison. It had been some time he was in prison. We don't know how long. Could have been a day, could have been a week. But he was there, and the church was praying, God, because the preface to that was that they just murdered James. They just killed him, and Peter was next, and they knew it. So they began to pray. How many of you have come upon a situation that's seemingly insurmountable, critical? I'll just tell you this story one day. I was riding. I lived in a neighborhood that had built new houses all at the same time. And so it had a bunch of winding roads. And one of the partners in my music ministry lived about a half a mile from me. And I could go to his house one of two or three different ways. So this particular day, I had a couple of guys in my car. We were going to his house, and I decided to go the long way. I don't know why. At least I didn't at the time. And I'm driving down the street, and everybody's at work because it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's no cars on the street, but there is a pickup truck running. The motor's running, and I see the guy. I know the motor's running because stuff's coming out of his tailgate, and it's shaking. It's a little Toyota pickup, and it's a little older, so it's kind of vibrating. He opened the door. He got out, and I could see him like he's at the street out there. He gets out his car, he walks back behind the car, and as he reached the sidewalk, he fell. But not because he tripped, he just passed out. And when the way he fell, his head went right to the corner of the curb and he hit it. And I'm just now going by when I see him fall. So I pulled up in front of his car. I got out to see if he was okay. He's laying on the ground vibrating. And so immediately I said, we got to pray. So I went over to him and I could tell he wasn't coherent. His eyes were rolling in his head. I rebuked the spirit of death over him right then. And then he passed out and then he started turning blue. So you're a nurse. Does that mean he's about out? He's nearly gone, right? Well, my amateur medical experience told me he don't have long to live. And I said, I rebuke the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. And when I did that, he started coughing. And then blood came back into his face. His face started turning pink. And then he tried to bite me. And I don't have time to go through that. Yeah, so anyway, the long story short is he thought I was trying to rob him. And I had his wallet or something. I said, hey, I'm not here to do anything to you. Just calm down. I kept praying for him, and he came too. And then he, like I said, he tried to bite us, and we got somebody to call the ambulance, and finally they came and they got him, and he was okay. Because I prayed. Now, I could have looked at him. I could have called 911. Oh, by the way, cell phones wasn't happening back then. And this was way before cell phones. So we went knocking on doors, and nobody would let us in. Either they weren't home, or they didn't want to let no black kids with big eraser afros, big kid and play afros, because they were from New York, from the place where Kid, y'all know who Kid and Play is? Yeah. Okay, so they were like friends of his, and they were imitating that big old hair. And I told them, run and go. You know, so it was a series of circumstances that we finally got them to come, and he was taken care of. The bottom line is that prayer changed his life. It saved his life. And that confirmed for me many times over that prayer has power because of who we are praying to. Now, I notice there are people in the world that will say, prayer is this and prayer is that, but they ain't praying to God. Well, if you're not praying to God, sorry, you're in trouble. Because the only one that can really do the things the way they need to be done is God. Amen? God is at work when we pray. God does miracles to help us and increase our faith in his ability to help us. Prayer works. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what, for example, Rooted is for. Now, this is my Rooted commercial. How many people have been through Rooted? That's about half or more of you. And so you know what I'm saying is true, that when you go to Rooted, what it does is connects you to God, to his word, his people, and your purpose. And that's what they did in Acts 2:42. It says, and they devoted themselves to fellowship, to breaking of bread, that's grease and eating, which y'all going to do right after church, and to prayer, fellowship, bread, and prayer. And that's what happens. So you can't leave that environment of fellowship, prayer, and breaking of bread. Things happen when you do that. Prayer changes things. So what happens to us when we come into a situation? What is our automatic response? Like, you know, if you hit your knee, you know that little test the doctors give you, you sit on the table, and they hit your knee, and it just, that's a reflex. It happens automatically. You don't have to think about it. It just happens. That should be our reaction to anything that happens. We should be praying. That's the first thing you should do. Man, I got to call my, no, call on Jesus. Call a doctor. No, call on Jesus. God can get there way faster than the doctor and the ambulance and everybody else. And plus, he wants to. So I'm going to read some scriptures to you about prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." Any of y'all in here today? "And his ears are open to their prayers." His ears are open to their prayers. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Mark 11:22. Many of you heard this before. "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" Now, if you look at that scripture, you'll notice it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray." So some people have it in their mind that they can pray silently. Anybody? You ain't raising your hand because you think I'm going to get on your case. It's okay. You can pray silently. What you can. But if I'm going to have a relationship with you, since I can't read your mind, I need you to speak to me. Amen? And so God wants to hear your words because words have power. When you pray God's word, God acts on his word. Not when you think it, when you say it. So praying in your mind is good, but praying out of your mouth is even better. Because when you say it, it has a more impact. Speak. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Ephesians, I call this the fire chapter. "Stand therefore," Ephesians 6:14. "Stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which will be able to catch to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Praying, there you go, always with all prayer. So it says praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. My interpretation of that is this, that when you pray with faith, believing that you're going to receive what you're praying about, and you pray in earnest. You ever heard that term, pray in earnest? Like, pray like you really believe God's going to do something. Pray with expectation. I know when I was a younger parent, and my daughter was real young, I told her one day that we were rich. And I was, of course, talking about spiritual things. And I said, "We're rich." And then I said, "You know, but God has blessed us because we have health and strength, and we have a house that we live in, we have a roof over our head, we have a car, you know, we have TV, we have clothes, we have blessings, people love us, we love them. So we're rich. We're rich. We have more than what most people in other countries don't have." So when I said that to her, she took it literally and both ways. So the next day she came up to me, she said, "Daddy, why can't we go buy a swimming pool?" I said, "Well, we're rich. Just write a check. You can do it." So I said, "Well, we don't have enough money for the swimming pool. But if we did, I would buy it." So that she was good with that. Next time she came up to me, she says, "Daddy, can I have so-and-so?" I don't remember what it was. But she asked with the expectation that she was getting what she asked for, because she believed that we were rich. She believed that she was going to receive that which she asked for. That simple example is how we're supposed to come to God. Because the Bible says that God has all power in his hand. That means he can do anything. Amen? Anything? Anything? There's another scripture that says nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Somebody wrote a song about it. If I had time, I'd sing it. But the bottom line is, absolutely nothing is too difficult for God. And if nothing is too difficult, and if he's all powerful, and if he knows everything, and he loves us with an everlasting love, when we come to him, why wouldn't he show up and do what we're asking him to do? In fact, why wouldn't you expect that he would? The Bible says you being parents, good parents, when your child asks for bread, would you give him a rock? No, because you're a good parent. You know they need bread. And how much more does God want to respond to us? Can I get an amen in this house? Amen. So when we ask, when we pray, and a little bit when we do pray, God is going to show up. I'm speaking prophetically. Some of y'all think that means a lot more than it does. It just means that I know God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to do it. You need to ask and believe that he's going to give it to you. So 1 Thessalonians says, 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That's the will of God, for you to pray without ceasing. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him.
Pray.
Really? Let him. Let him, come on, y'all. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's double your blessing. He's going to hear you, forgive your sins, and move you into the great place. It says, confess your trespasses or your sins one to another and pray for one another. That's what we're going to do in a minute. That you may be healed. This is a great verse. I quote it often. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It has tremendous power. Just so you think that I'm just talking, in Luke 22:31, Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did Peter fail? He did. He denied Christ right after that. But he did return to God. He returned to Jesus after he came back. And so the truth is that Jesus prayed for him. So we should be able to pray for one another. Amen? So I want you to close your eyes real quick. Maybe bow your head and think about this for a second. What is it that I need to pray for? It could be concerning you, it could be concerning someone you know or your neighbor or someone in here. It could be a need you have, whatever it is. Think about that. Just give yourself a few seconds, because in a minute, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to get with somebody and pray for them and them for you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We love you, Jesus. The Bible says rejoice and give thanks. So before you pray, I want you to just give some thanks to God. Talk to him like you know he's going to do what you're asking him to do. God, we thank you that you're all powerful. Come on, I want to hear y'all pray. Talk to God out loud. Don't be ashamed. Just talk to God right now like you feel it. Lord, I just thank you for whatever you want to do in my life today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for just touching our life. Thank you for our worship time today. Thank you for being in your house, Lord, where we hear good things and you encourage us, where we're blessed by fellowship with one another. Thank you, God, that we have a new day, a new grace and a new mercy to experience because you love us so much. Thank you, God. We praise you. We honor you. Now, all over the room, right now, stand up and begin to call on Jesus. Just stand up and begin to call on Jesus. Pretend like you're in here by yourself and just call on Jesus. This takes work, and that's what prayer is, work. Come on, let's do it. Call on Jesus like you believe he's going to answer the prayer that you're praying right now. Lord, we thank you for it. Call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're great and mighty, Lord. We trust you. We trust you. You're faithful, Lord. I pray for deliverance. I pray that you'll break some chains in this house today. I pray that you'll move in somebody's life today, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for that financial need that someone has, Lord, that you'll pour out of your spirit on them right now, that you'll meet that place right now. I pray for that person who's feeling dejected and rejected and lost, that you would touch them right now. Let them know you love them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for that person who's sick and needs a supernatural touch from you. I pray for healing to enter their body right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit comes right now and brings a refreshing that needs to be happening right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, don't quit. Persevere in prayer. Persevere. There's a scripture that says, and it's about prayer, that if you, it says to ask, knock. In the Greek, it says keep asking, continue to ask. Jesus told the parable of the woman who with the unjust judge, she kept on asking him and nagging him and nagging him until finally he gave in. And right now, some of us need to pray like that. God, I'm asking you to do something that I haven't seen done before. I need it to be done, God. I need you to move in this situation. Continue to come before the throne with your need right now, with the need of your neighbor, with the need of somebody right now. This is work, Lord. This is work. This is not just playing patty cake. This is where Jesus meets us on the rubber on the road in the name of Jesus. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Pray, open your mouth and declare the works of God. Declare what God you want him to do for you today in the name of Jesus. Put your faith out there. Don't be afraid. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. He would try to keep you from opening your mouth and saying what you believe. Trust God right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Now give God some praise for what he's already going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth and thank him. Hallelujah. The roof should be coming off of this place right now. Glory to God. Shout to the Lord right now. Shout to the Lord. Thank him right now. Bless his name. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for meeting me right now. Thank you for your hand of mercy and grace. Thank you for your blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Now, persevere in praise. Continue to praise him until you feel the Holy Spirit moving in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your hand of grace. Thank you for meeting that need in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you can. Thank you, Lord. Let me just give you a couple of quick things. One of them is the benefit of prayer. There's a benefit to praying. It's called peace and freedom from worry and stress. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Remember that. Prayer brings confidence. John 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Because it builds your faith. Prayer builds your faith. Now I want to give you a couple of practical things and then we're going to go. One of them is hindrances to prayer. What stops us from praying? Distractions. How many of you ever sat down to pray? And you go, well, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to pray for however long. And as soon as you sit down to pray or kneel to pray or get to pray, something happens. The phone rings, the doorbell, somebody comes, something happens. Most of the time, that's the devil trying to derail your prayer time. And you don't have to let that take over. Or you think about your to-do list. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. Just calm your little self down. Calm yourself down and just say, you know what? I know I have all them things to do, and God, I'm putting them before you right now. And then just lay it out to him. God, I have to do this, 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 and that. Can you help me with that? And then move that out the way and just begin to praise God like we did a minute ago. When you begin to praise, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And it happens in your prayer closet too, not just in here. It can happen. Amen? One other distraction to or hindrance to prayer is false emergencies. I heard this saying once, what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. And I've kept it. It's almost like a scripture, but it's not quite. But it's good. It's real good. Because the devil will make something be an emergency. Oh, my hair is on fire. Well, it's time to get you a wig. Some emergencies are not your emergency. Amen? You just have to let them go and trust God. Do what he said. Stay in the place of prayer. I could tell you tens of stories about that in my own life, but we don't have time. So don't let false emergencies motivate you away from the place of prayer. And then don't use this, I'm too busy to pray. Everybody's too busy. You can't stop 5 minutes and just sit down. You're on your cell phone, you're texting, you're looking for a place to go eat, you're looking for the shortest directions to get there, you're looking for, right? I mean, we just go like crazy. Calm yourself down and give God some time and watch him work it all out. I remember one day I decided I was going to pray about a list of things. I made out this long list. I've got a legal pad. It was about 22 or 23 things. And I just took my phone and put it in the hallway so if it rang, someone else could answer it. I said, but I'm not answering the phone. And I just got on my knees and began to pray. And I started thinking about this and that. The Lord just said, hang in there, keep praying. I prayed right down the list, everything that was on that list. In 1 week, everything that was on that list got taken care of. In 1 week. That would have taken me months. God did it because I gave him the first. That's like a tithe of your time. Amen? It's like giving the first fruits of your time. You spend time with God, it pays off every day, all the time. Amen? One of the ways that you can pray is using the word of God. Speak it out of your mouth, the word of God. Open your Bible and just read scripture. And then when you find something that really ministers to you, pray that. When you pray God's word, the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. So when you speak God's word, he's got to do it. Not because he said it, but because he wants to. And God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. So you should believe it with everything in your heart, and you should act like it when you pray. All right. So two other things. Pray in a quiet place. Take yourself someplace where you can be quiet, away from stuff. Could be your closet, you know, your house. If it's quiet, go for it. The bottom line is take the time and the place to pray. And then the last thing is pray with others. Pray with and for others. Get somebody to agree with you about what you're praying. And that's what we're going to do right when we get dismissed. Grab somebody's hand. You can stand because we're getting ready to dismiss. You can stand. Now again, let's thank God for the answer. Thank him for the answer. Thank him for the answer. Bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for meeting your needs, meeting these needs today. Thank you for your favor. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to pray for us. God, I pray that today would be beginning of opportunities for us to reach out to you in prayer, not just for others and for needs, but for relationship with you, that we can tell you all the things that's in our heart, that things that we struggle with, things that no one else knows about. You want to hear about those things. And God, I pray right now that you will meet us at the place of prayer this week, even tomorrow night. As many of us come back here, Lord, I pray that this will be an opportunity for us to trust you in prayer this year, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for a great outcome. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. I hope to see some of y'all tomorrow night. Many of you come back and celebrate in the house of God.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.